All Over Albany is an organization, a publication that keeps you up to date on what's going on in the Capital Region. WOOC correspondent Aaron Pednotti sat down with co-founders of All Over Albany, or AOA.
I'm Aaron Pednotti, and today I'm interviewing Greg Dahlman and Mary Darcy, the co-founders and editors of All Over Albany. Greg and Mary, thanks for taking the time to talk with me today. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
For the invite. We appreciate it.
So to start out, can you give us some basic information on All Over Albany? What is it and what does it do?
Well, AOA, as we call it and a lot of people call it, it's a lot easier to say than All Over Albany. Mm-hmm. It's a website. I think the way that we have come to think of it as it's for interesting and interested people. If you're interested in what's going on in this area, if you sort of have omnivorous curiosities, we try to bring you interesting things to talk about and to know about and to learn about this area.
It really is a way to help you navigate the Capital Region. And I don't mean when I say navigate just maps and where to go, but to understand what this place is about. It's got culture, it's got food, it's got history, it's got maps, it's got lists of things to do. So all kinds of interesting info. We used to say it's stuff you need to know, stuff you didn't know you needed to know. I can't even remember. It's like, but all that good stuff.
I think that's where we slimmed it down to the other one because it's hard to remember.
But it's things you need to know and things you didn't even realize you wanted to know.
So culture, history, food, the sorts of things that you may not necessarily find in a mainstream news publication, but that have broad bearing on the area as a whole.
Sure. I think that, one of the things for us, we do things that are new, that are current. We also do things that, in sort of like, in news jargon, don't have a hook or a peg, which is like a traditional news organization. There always has to be a reason why you're doing a story. It's because somebody gave a speech or because this is happening or it's National French Fry Day or something like that.
Right.
And we do some of that, but we also will do things that have, in some sense, no reason to do this today. There's no reason necessarily to write the history, as we had a contributor recently did, about an apartment building in Albany. There's no peg for that, but it helps us understand, where we live a little bit better and people are interested in it, and that's a good enough reason for us.
And a lot of what we do that's different, I think, is the voice that we write in. When you read AOA, it's... Hopefully what we're going for is that it's casual, that it sounds like a friend, that it sounds like you're being spoken with instead of talked to,
Right. I suppose when I said culture, history, and food aren't really covered in mainstream news publications, I was overstating the case a little bit. What I meant was that it's more of a split of like 80-20 between, 20% of those types of things and 80% of breaking news stories. So maybe you're sort of doing something similar, but reversing the percentage, where you're talking a little bit more about cultural issues and historical issues, but you do have a breaking news component to what you're doing as well?
A little bit. I wouldn't say that we do a lot of the sort of straight up regular news coverage that a lot of media organizations do, in part because, we don't have the resources for that, in part because that kind of stuff is already really well covered. Mm-hmm. Really well covered, but it gets covered a lot right now. So it's more a matter of us, I think, when we started this, thinking, what would be useful to us? And then also, as time has gone on, looking for those, those niches in sort of the local scene, where that we think that we could be helpful to people and where we could, fill in some of the gaps.
Mm-hmm. Along that lines, one of the things that Greg does that I really enjoy and I think is useful and helpful is putting stories that are happening into context. Here's this thing that's happening, but what does this thing mean? What does it mean to you? Rather than just, yes, this is happening and these are there are things that people talk about all the time, but they don't really look into the levels below them.
So more of a macro analysis that involves a certain level of literacy about the area in ways that other types of news publications may not. Like that brings history and culture and like a specifically Capital Region informed perspective to bear on the topics that you're discussing.
I think that's what it's getting at. The way I really think about it, it's much simpler. It's like you're sitting across the table having coffee with somebody and this comes up and you're like, they're like, yeah, I don't really understand that. Well, yeah, you know, here are the, oh yeah, that, this, here's the thing. This is what this party is doing, and this is what that party is doing. And really, when you look at it through a much larger lens, you know, what could this mean for the capital region? The Amazon story was something that made me think about that. The decision, you know, by Amazon not to locate in the capital region, right? But you sort of broke it down. I mean, a lot of people maybe were saying, you know, oh, they released the Amazon list of you know, the places they didn't go, and or no, it wasn't the list of the places they didn't go. It was the list. It was, I'm trying to remember
I think you're talking. Yeah. You're talking about.
I'm a little discombobulated right now. Yeah.
I think you're talking about the when there was that, you know, Gannett released.
Yes, Gannett released the list.
They foiled all the bids that.
Right, and it was the bid. You
released,
broke down. They broke down the bid. Right, and you looked at our bid in the capital region, and kind of thought about, well, what does that mean for the capital region, that this is what was offered? What does it mean that you know, the people who are making these bids and who are thinking about the direction of the region are thinking about what mm-hmm. what do they want for the direction of the region? What are they hoping for? What's on their list? You know,
so a regionally informed analysis of what's happening as opposed to just straight up coverage of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, it goes back to, I think, what Mary was saying before, that, you know, on its best day, all over Albany is like having a friend who knows what's going on and who you can go to and ask, like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? What's a good place to go? What's the backstory on this thing that's happening? You know, what's the context for, you know, that we live in?
So with that somewhat more informal selection process in mind, can you tell us a little bit about how you choose what stories to cover?
Sure. I think, you know, it's like any news organization. Some of it is you have a goal or a general direction, you know, that you want to pursue. And then that meets up with the reality of the resources that you have. So, you know, we're always looking for things that are going to be useful to people, you know. So that means a lot of times, you know, we'll post things that in some ways they're not really stories. It's just a simple like, hey, this thing is going to happen. And, you know, and people, that's useful to people. People like to know that interesting things are happening, whether they're going to go or they just like to know that it's happening. Right? I mean, we all like to know. Even it's, I always think that sometimes it's like, you know, it's like we have that stuff to do this weekend list that we do every week. And, you know, hear from people that were like, you know, like, yeah, even if I'm not going to go to anything, I still like to read that because I still like to know that it's there.
So do you have a specific day on which you publish, or are you just publishing things all the time based on the, you know, sort of temporal relevance when the story's coming out?
It's Monday through Friday.
Okay. Yeah. And can you tell us a little bit about your funding model, how that works?
We probably started in a traditional way. It's probably not what you would tell your business students to do. We both had a small set amount of money that we kicked in and said, hey, let's start this business. And we worked for a year before we tried to sell an ad, because what do you really have to sell if it's not, you know, attention and the attention that it's getting, you know?
So, and we were doing sort of other work on the side to...
Yeah, we did do a little bit of work on the side. We, you know, we both have backgrounds in media, so we did a little, you know, side work to try to fund it
and to fund ourselves
to keep the money coming in the beginning. But after about a year, we started selling ads, and we had some small businesses sign on, and little by little, we started selling more ads. And then we thought about, you know, we weren't selling enough ads, and everybody kept asking for something called value added, which it was a term I hated, and people don't seem to use anymore. Now there are other terms I hate, but mm-hmm. Everybody wanted to know what else you were going to give them. And so I started thinking about this, and they seemed to value the other thing more than even the ad, like a party, an event, a something. So now we have branched out into doing a lot of events. We've actually brought in some bigger companies. We have a few much larger clients now. And we'll do things for big clients and for small clients. We do tours like our Bad Boys, Broads, and Bootleggers tour, which gets a bunch of people on a CDTA bus, and we go to all kinds of historic places and tell them about the brewers and the backroom deals and the crooked politics that you won't learn in your history classes. Mm-hmm. And at each stop, we tell them something interesting, but we also give them a new twist on a classic cocktail made with local ingredients and some kind of interesting local food to go with it. Hmm. So there's food, there's drink, there's history, there's fun because the people that you're with are having a good time. And along with that, you get a whole bunch of ads on AOA for a set amount of time, depending on what level you're.
And I think that the event stuff, it dovetailed with us, you know, realizing that, you know, there's sort of this community of people that had grown around the site. And, you know, these people really were interested in meeting each other. And, you know, and doing this has helped us, you know, a lot of times now, like, you know, we'll come up with like, oh, we should do this event. It'll be so much fun. And then we find out a way to pay for it. So, you know, that was really ended up working out well.
That's exactly how we do it now. But that's how we do a lot of things. If we do a theme week, we don't go to a client and say, hey, what theme week do? We sit around and think, what do we want to do that's interesting? Hmm. And when we've hit on the interesting thing we want to do, I sit back and look around the landscape and say, okay, how do we pay for this? And the way that we pay for it is by getting advertisers, you know, or sponsors to come in and sponsor a theme week or sponsor an event.
So this strikes me as an interesting new sort of media model, because there's the digital component of getting information out there via your website, but it's not exactly just news. It's also, you know, culture, and there's a social component to it. And then there are analog physical things that you do, tours that you're giving, social events that you're hosting, and a community that's coming into being around your website as well. So you're really working with the internet and the social possibilities that that creates in new ways, doing something that's kind of hard to classify in terms of traditional media production. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
Short answer, yes.
I mean, you know, I remember having our first event, which was, we thought, we've been here a year, let's throw a birthday party. And then we had that thing that happens just before you throw a party. Oh my God, what if nobody comes? And then we sat back and watched what happened. And these people who only knew each other through, you know, screen names or whatever, and then like got to, you know, were talking and really having conversations and getting to know each other in person. And we had some people that we invited hoping that they would see it from an advertiser perspective. And we saw the light bulbs go on over people's head. Oh my gosh, this is where all these people are. We knew they were here.
Right.
But where are they?
Imagine that's a very rewarding experience.
It's really fun.
Yeah. Well, Greg and Mary, thanks again for coming in. It was really nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, that was Oliver Albany speaking with Aaron Pettinati about their publication. You can find more about AOA at alloveralbany.com.